This was once a high-tech demo.
For phones, fax machines, and voice and data systems to help you succeed,
this is going to be good.
Regular people are going to be able to do all sorts of stuff over their telephone.
Call Southwestern Bell.
With Southwestern Bell, you've got great connection.
It's who you know.
Rotary phones, touch tone phones, all symbols and reminders of a communication technology all but gone today. Here are the guardians of your old dial tone, besieged and on strike. The voices of some of the nearly 36,000 Verizon workers who went on strike 3 weeks ago. The workers have been without a contract since August, while the company has been eagerly shedding more than 60% of its landline workforce in the last 10 years. Those fewer workers cover much larger territories and working shifts far from home. Pete Coble is a 61-year-old driver for Verizon from Queens.
Bounced around from job to job in Verizon because they keep on shutting down stuff they're not supposed to be shutting down. And we're kind of tired of it.
Two unions, the CWA and the IBEW, represent almost 40,000 workers on the East Coast, but those unions have barely cracked the workforce in the largely non-union wireless sector, which is why the strike has been so low profile. Susan Crawford is a professor at Harvard Law School and author of Captive Audience, The Telecom Industry and Monopoly Power in the New Gilded Age. She says these striking workers are fighting for their jobs, but also for an image of the old Bell system that history, technology, and the company have left behind.
Verizon is not a phone company. It tells Wall Street it's a diversified media company. So you may be thinking of it as guys with lines putting wires down. In fact, 70% of their $32 billion a year comes from wireless, and wireless is not unionized. Verizon has every incentive to drive down its costs and get rid of the $168 billion in unfunded pension and health care benefits it has on its books by getting rid of the union.
There's no pathway necessarily for these workers for the future. And I'm just wondering, whither these workers?
Well, Verizon says they're already seeing people crossing the picket lines and that they're able to hire temporary workers to take the place. This is like the bigger story of the Uberization of the economy, I'd say. Verizon doesn't need these workers as much as the workers need Verizon.
And is it the case that these workers only do work on these old lines? Or what about fiber? What about Fios? What about all these other cables that have been laid?
Well, absolutely. Verizon's Fios workers are unionized. But Verizon's backing away from Fios as fast as it can. It just sold off its systems in California, in Texas, and in Florida. It had already gotten rid of all of its wires in New Hampshire and Vermont and Maine. So they're really drawing down to just those few leafy, dense areas of the Northeast where they think they have business customers that will buy their services and where people are rich enough, they think, to pay for Fios. Fios is very expensive. We pay more per month than a service in Seoul or Tokyo that has 10 times as much capacity.
Wow. So as a consumer story, what's the significance of this strike?
The significance is that we're seeing these companies treat telecommunications as a luxury, as a delivery platform for vertically integrated businesses, and as a largely unregulated, very expensive, rare service. The really big story is that the entire nation should be upgrading its wires to fiber, and they should be cheap and ubiquitous and available to everyone. We're missing out on a future we otherwise should be having.
Is there any consumer impulse to help the workers? In other words, there's this town in Massachusetts, Braintree, which has said, we are going to support the workers. Is that a useful impulse? Is that going to help these workers? Or does it underscore the fact that this whole era of copper is going away?
Well, this is a demographic issue. That Braintree town is also older. They have a lot of copper, and the people who live there are older. Young people are relying on wireless and do see this as a luxury, don't really understand the idea of a basic wired network, and don't understand that those wireless devices they love, on which they depend, actually need wires in order to perform. So we're sort of in an ahistorical, uncontextual moment of profit-making, and not a lot of Americans seem to understand.
Would you say the way that the Verizon is treating these workers is in violation of some compact that has existed really long before Verizon, 9X, Bell Atlantic, the old Bell system?
The American social contract was always to provide everybody with a wire that was the best in its class And those were unionized jobs for a long time. Neither of those compacts now exist. We haven't made a commitment as a country to have a great wired network. We don't seem to have any path to do it.
And so these workers who were once the high-tech workers in America are being cast by Verizon as something that should be sort of tossed out.
I think their motive here is really financial, and it's not so much creating them as one kind of character or another. What they're doing is plowing their profits into dividends and share price rather than worrying about the workers. And there are a lot of American industries that act the same way.
And the power of this strike is not going to be sufficient to compel Verizon to do anything, in your view?
I don't think so. I mean, Verizon's buzz rating is down as a consumer matter, but they still have enormous pricing power on the wireless side where they really live.
Susan Crawford, professor at Harvard Law School, author of Captive Audience, The Telecom Industry and Monopoly Power in the New Gilded Age. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
The Verizon strike has been mostly invisible outside of the Northeast. That's because in most of the nation, the idea of the traditional telephone service is radically changing. It's estimated that 85% of California consumers have ditched their traditional landlines. Wireless, fiber, and digital media produce most of the $4.22 billion in profit made by Verizon last year. But the city of Braintree, Massachusetts, has lots of old-style copper landlines. The city has voted to support the Verizon workers and says it will not purchase any Verizon products for the duration of the strike. Joining me now from the land of the reliable dial tone, Braintree Mayor Joseph Sullivan. Welcome, Mayor.
John, how are you?
So, Mayor, the strike, the Verizon strike, has it had a big impact on your community?
I think it's had an impact. I don't know if I'd catalog it as big, but we do have quite a few employees, so I guess to the extent that it's impacted families here in town, you'd have to consider it big in some ways. I know a lot of folks who work for Verizon, as do members of the town council, and that's why we took this step as a community to demonstrate support for these workers and for the families of people who are impacted by this current strike.
What do you think the chances are that your endorsement of the workers would have any kind of an impact?
Well, I would hope it would have an impact. We've made a statement of support, and the reason we have is because we care about these families, and we know it's been impactful for them. And in some regard, obviously, there's a multiplier to that that makes it impactful for the community here as well. I think when there's a need to stand up, you have to demonstrate where you stand.
Are you calling for a boycott of Verizon, a discontinuance of Fios?
No, we are not. We do not want, as a community, to get engaged with any new type of activity that Verizon may be offering, any type of new contracts or obligations to purchase any type of Verizon products going forward while the strike continues. But we're not right now asking or directing anyone to rid themselves of any type of Verizon business arrangements that they have.
Do you think that consumers would be better served through a traditional old monopoly or a federally administered and subsidized communications infrastructure?
I'm probably not in a position to make that type of judgment. I guess, the ultimate statement they were making in terms of this resolution from the town of Braintree, Massachusetts, is to indicate to the Verizon executives, to the company, that they need to treat their workers, I think, in a much more fair and empathetic way. I've had a chance. This is not the first time that this type of strike has taken place. I've walked with the workers 4 years ago when we had a similar type of situation. Fortunately, that got resolved. It just seems to me that, every 4 years or so, you get to this point where there's a polarized position, and it doesn't help really anybody.
Finally, what about the company's tactics and strategy and behavior here has most outraged you?
It's my understanding that Verizon management, Verizon executives have been rather dismissive of some of the workers' concerns. And so that troubles me. I think we, as a community, have always tried to work in a way with our union employees that recognizes their value And we've been fair and reasonable, and I think we would hope that Verizon management would recognize the value of the Verizon worker, the impact that it has on their family, and consequently make good decisions in terms of trying to come to an agreement here that would hopefully foster a positive relationship going forward.
Speaking on a trusty Verizon landline connection, Mayor Joseph Sullivan of Braintree, Massachusetts.